Okay. Morning. Today's daf Menachos Chav Zayin. We're in Chav Vav Amud Beis. Itmar, right in the middle of the Amud. No, let's go back. Let's go back one station. Sorry. Hikter comes up on Maim Kshera. There we go. Okay. The Mishnah on Chav Vav Amud Aleph taught us about the essential nature of taking the kemitza and putting into a kli sharis. Although you put the mincha already in the first kli, and as I quoted Rashi back in the Mishnah. That's a non-starter. That's an absolute requirement when it comes to a mincha that you must take the mincha and put it into a kli sharis to begin with. But then what the kohen's going to do is the mitzvah of kemitza, which we've discussed already at length in this mesechta. And by taking the kemitza, there is a halacha of kiddush kametz. You take the kemitza and you put it into a second kli sharis. And the Mishnah says that that's essential. That's without doing that, you have not come to the mitzvah of kemitza. Now, admittedly, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon is machshir. What exactly does Rabbi Shimon mean? So we saw yesterday in the Gemara, three Amoraim have three different explanations of what exactly Rabbi Shimon means. Where is Rabbi Shimon ready to relax the rules of Kiddush Kametz? But nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon says that it would be okay. We don't follow like Rabbi Shimon. We follow like the Chachamim. Kiddush Kametz is essential. And then the Mishnah went on to make another point. And that is that kumtza pa'amayim k'sheira. If you take the kumetz and you subdivide it into two parts and you burn on the mizbech in two parts, so the Mishnah says k'sheira. A simple reading of the Mishnah is that it should be burnt on the mizbech as one unit. But if you subdivide it, it would be okay. And on that, the Gemara discusses, we're in Chavav Amud Beis, it's about a quarter of the way down at the two dots. Hikter kumtza pa'amayim k'sheira. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, pa'amayim velo pa'amei pa'amayim. So Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says, okay, here's the only allowance. Take it and divide into two. You can't divide into any greater pieces than two. So you can't break divide into four and presumably not even into thirds. And we'll see in just a moment why. Rabbi Yochanan amar pa'amayim va'afilu pa'amei pa'amayim. And Rabbi Yochanan says you can break it into two. You can break it into as many pieces as you want and burning it on the mizbeach. Now, my beinayu amar Rabbi Zera yesh kametz pachus mishtei zeisim v'yesh aktar p'chusa mechazayis. Ika beinayu. So the Gemara says as follows. There are actually two variables under consideration over here. When the Kohen does the Kemitza, so how many Kezesim are fitting into his hand? Now, we already made the observation earlier in the Masechta that there's at least one Kezais in the hand of a Kohen when he does a Kemitza. So that means to say, okay, we have our Menachos right here on the table. So that means, okay. Why not? Okay. For those of you who are not visualizing right now, okay. You're missing something special. Okay, so anyway, so we have the mincha over here. So when the kohen now is doing the kemitza, so what now is coming out in his hands? Remember, now it's basically the contents of his fist minus the thumb and the pinky. So what he has now in his hands is at least one kezias. I know that's hard to imagine. The truth of the matter is, we're not totally sure what a kezias is. So, you know, that's one of our struggles. But anyway, it's at least one kezias. And now what is open for a discussion right now is that it may in fact be two kezesim. Two kezesim fitting in the palm of the hand. Now my hand, which is not particularly that big, so it's really hard to imagine two fitting into the hand. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi savra ein kometz pachus mishnei zesim ve'ein aktar pachus mikezayis. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is of the opinion that a kometz is minimum two kezesim. And therefore, and a haktara ein haktar pachus mikezayis, and when you do it, when you burn the kometz, you must burn minimally one kezias at a time. So now, with these two variables in mind, now you understand Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So when the Mishnah gives an allowance to divide into two, that's it. Because the Kohen's holding at least two kezesim in his hand. Now let's make it even simpler. Let's say two kezesim. The Kohen's holding two kezesim in his hand, and the Mishnah says, well, you could divide into two. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, but nothing more than two. Because at two, it's one kezias, and you are burning a kezias at a time. There, in terms of haktara, there's a minimum of burning one kezias at a time. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, savar yesh kametz pachus mishtei zeisim v'yesh haktara pachus mikezias. Where Rabbi Yochanan's starting point's like this. He does not agree that there are two kezesim that fit into the hand of a kohen when doing the kemitza. It's less than two kezesim. Again, somewhere between one kezias and two kezesim, but it doesn't matter. It's less than two kezesim. So now when you take that and you break it into two, so then you have less than a kezias and less than a kezias. So Rabbi Yochanan says, so it must be that when burning the kometz, there is no minimum requirement of how much needs to be in one amount in order to be burnt on the mizbeach. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, so what do you see clearly from the Mishnah? There's no minimum shear. You can burn it, right, two halves, You could burn it as thirds, you could burn it as quarters, you could burn whatever. In other words, as long as you burn the entire kemitzah, it could be burned incrementally in any amount. Itmar. Komitz memesai matu shirai be'achila. The Gemara now asks such a wonderfully simple question, and it's really basic. We know that in order to eat, for the Kohanim to eat the shirayim, so you have to burn the komitz. And now the Gemara is looking for a little more precision. When exactly is the komitz considered burnt? For the heter achilas shirayim. Rabbi Chanina omer mishe mashla bo esaor. So Rabbi Chanina says to you, putting the komitz on the fire, and that's it. In other words, once it starts catching fire, so that's already a sufficient amount. Rashi over here writes, b'miksasa. Even a small amount of the komitz now has caught fire, that's fine. Now the Kohanim have a heter achila of the shirayim. And Rabbi Yochanan omer mishe tatsus bo esaor berubo. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you have to wait till a longer period of time. You have to wait till the majority of the komitz is burnt on the mizbeach. So Amar le Rav Yehuda le Rabba Rav Yitzchak Asbrach LaTaim de Rav Yochanan. So let me try to explain Rav Yochanan, and that is Amar Krovi Hine Allah Kitor Arts Ki Kitor Kivshan. So the burning of Sodom, the Torah in giving a description of the burning of Sodom describes a smoke column that's coming out of the city as it's being burned. Now, when is an oven really smoking? So the oven really smokes, the furnace really smokes, only when the contents are inside are being burnt. See, here too, when there is a mitzvah of haktara, right, that's the description in using in the burning of the komets. So there too, it can only be considered burnt when the majority of it is caught fire. Amalei rav min barav adal rava amri tamidecha. Amar Rav Aman Tanya. Let's take the following brisa under consideration. Now, the brisa over here is commenting on the following. The Torah says, "Am mizbech kol halayla." So, on the mizbech all night. What is going on the mizbech all night? That's the topic of this brisa. Ainli ala dvarim shadarkam likarav b'layla kagon. So, I understand things that are burnt on the mizbech all night. Eivarim repadarim shemalam amaktirim mivo Hashem shumet aklam v'hokin kol halayla kulo. So when it comes to the limbs and the fats of karbanos that are offered during the day, as we have said many times throughout the Masechtos of Zvachim and Menachos, karbanos can only be, the avoda of a karban can only be done during the day. Good. After you do the avoda of Shechita and Kabbalas Adam and Holach and Zrika, then in terms of burning the karban, that can be done overnight. You have the entire night to do so. So I understand that when the Torah says Am Mizbech Kol HaLayla, it's talking about Eivarim and Pedarim, that makes perfect sense. But Dvarim Shadarkam Likarav B'Yom Kigon HaKometz V'Alavona. But what about those things that are offered during the day? Can they remain on the Mizbech all night? For example, Kometz, example number one, and that's obviously what we want to see right now. And you'll see why it's important. So Kometz and Lavona and the Haktaras of Haketaras, Minchas Kohanim, Minchas Kohanim Mashiach, Minchas Tesachim, Shemalan Umaktira Mivo Hashemesh. Now they're offered. Now, right now, the Brisa reads right after sunset, and the Gemara immediately reacts, even before finishing the Brisa. You know, you can't mean right after sunset. Meaning, these are things that are offered on the Mizbech that have to be offered during the day. Vahamar darkenly karev bayom. What do you mean? They're offered during the day. Ela im bo Hashemesh. It means right before sunset. Shemit Aklim V'Hochen, and now we get to finish the Braisa. Shemit Aklim V'Hochen Kol Alay Laminayin. How do I know that they're on the Mizbech and are burnt on the Mizbech over the course of the night? Tamalamber Zos Taras Ola. These are the laws of the Ola and Riba. And it establishes a Riba, it's an inclusion. V'ha Im Ba'a Shemesh. Now, let's consider. One of the things we just described as staying on the Mizbech over the course of the night is a Kometz, together with a whole bunch of other examples that are given. And with a small correction in the Braisa, we now understand. When are you putting the kometz on the mizbeach? Right before sunset. So let's think this through. You're putting the kometz right on the mizbeach right before sunset. So that means that it's only put on the fire right before the sun sets. Is there a possibility that it's totally burnt on the mizbeach before sunset? And the answer, of course, is no. And that's exactly the question of the Gemara. Meaning you, Rav Yochanan, say, when is it necessary for the when can the Kohanim eat the shirayim? Only after the majority of the kometz is burnt on the mizbeach. You would assume that would take a couple of minutes at least to be sitting on the top of the mizbeach before we get that point in time. And how can the braisa now describe the kometz going on the mizbeach right before sunset? And the Gemara articulates now that very question, answers the Gemara Lokasha. Kan liklo kan lahatir. So the Gemara says, let's make sure that we understand, we're talking about two different topics. When we're talking about the Mizbeach being kolate, meaning the Mizbeach accepting a carbon, you can put it on any time during the day, even right before sunset. A minute before sunset, you can put it on. In terms of the allowance for the Kohanim to eat Shirayim, that's a different shear. And that you're going to have to wait until, according to Rav Yochanan, until it's totally burnt on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Elazar Masnin LaMevo HaShem Hashu Mukin LaBepokin. Now Rabbi Elazar says that we're talking about Mevo HaShem, meaning he would prefer not to edit the Braisa. Keep the Braisa as it is that we're talking even after sunset. Now again, we ask the question, after sunset, you don't put these things on the Mizbeach after sunset. So no, we're talking about Pokin, meaning they were placed already on the Mizbeach before sunset. And because of the heat of the Mizbeach, so it flew off the Mizbeach after sunset. And the point is that you put it back up overnight and you keep continuously burn it over the course of the night. V'chenki, also Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yana Bepokin. And the Gemara also quotes in the name of Rav Dimi, who quotes in the name of Rav Yana, same shot. You put it on the Mizbeach before sunset. The Braisa reads after sunset. The Braisa is referring to where it flew off the Mizbeach. Now the Gemara says, but there is one inconsistency in Rabbi Yannai. Because Rabbi Yannai says regarding the Ketores. Now that's the incense that's burned on the inner Mizbeach. Regarding the Ketores, so if some of the Ketores flies off the Mizbeach, there is no requirement to put it back on. So how can Rabbi Yannai explain the Braisa that it's talking about Pokin when meanwhile, Rabbi Yannai says regarding Ketores, and this is specific to Ketores, it doesn't have to be put back up onto the Mizbeach. Utini Rav China bar Min Yom B'debe Rav Elazar bar Yaakov Asher Tochol HaEish Esa Ola La Mizbeach Ikule Ola Atamachzir V'Atamachzir Ikule Ketores. In fact, there's a drasha for this point, that only carbon Ola, if flown off the Mizbeach, retrieve it and put it back onto the Mizbeach. But when it comes to Ketores, there's no requirement to do so. So some Mimikan Ketores, so the Gemara says, okay, so according to Rabbi Yannai, we're going to have to make another editor's note on the Braisa. Meaning, so in the Braisa, there was a long list of things that were that were described that have to go back onto the Mizbeach. One of the items was the Ketores, according to Rabbi Yannai, so that's going to have to be deleted from the Braisa. Okay. Am Rav Asi Ki Pashi Rabbi Elazar ben Menachos, Bai Hachi. When Rabbi Elazar was learning Masechta Menachos, so the following question was asked. Komet, Shitsidra, Vesidra, Alav, Esa, Maracha, Mahu. So you have the comets, and you put it on the Maaracha. So so what exactly is the halacha over here? Rashi explains. Rashi is all the way on the bottom. The Rashi all the way on the bottom. Alam Mizbeach, Tachas Ha'itzim. So in other words, the question over here is, no, I'm sorry, that Rashi is on the upcoming sugya. Yeah, okay. But basically, you put the wood on top of the comets. Now that's unusual, and that's exactly the question of the Gemara. Meaning, generally speaking, first you put the wood down on the Mizbeach, obviously you set fire to it, and then you put the comets on top of it. Now what the Gemara is describing is, what if you did the reverse? And derech haktar b'kach or ein derech haktar b'kach, is that considered a normal way to do haktara? Take with the Gemara that leaves this question unresolved. By chizkei varim shesidrim v'sidra alem as amarechem mahu. Ala eitzim amarechem adavka, al ha'eitzim, odim akim d'chziv k'rachrin asher tochal ha'esh atzahola, al mizbeach, ibai hachi avid, ibai hachi avid. And again, the Gemara asks the very same question, but here, instead of asking regarding the comets, it's asking regarding the Eivarim, the limbs of a carbon. And Teiku and the Gemara also leaves this question unresolved, meaning this too is unclear in terms of whether or not this is considered a normal way of burning the Eivarim, putting the wood on top of the Eivar. Okay, so we're going to cover all of our prepositions. So we talked about the Eivarim or the comets being put on the wood. That's clearly the correct way to do it. We talked about now the wood being put on top of the Eivarim or on top of the comets. Questionable whether that's acceptable or not. And now what about side by side? So I have the wood on the Mizbeach and I put either the comets or the Eivarim. Here the Gemara happens to discuss specifically the Eivarim. I put it on the side of the wood. So it's on the Mizbeach, it's going to get burnt, it's just not on top of the wood, it's on the side of the wood. Acceptable or not acceptable? Aliba demanda amra al mamish lo tibayilach. So the Gemara says, look, we know the Torah's instructions are al ha'etz. And so when the Torah gives us the preposition of al, what does that mean? So if it's to be understand that al is to be taken literally, so then Torah is giving us very clear instructions. Take on the mizbech, take the wood, put the wood on the mizbech, then take the avar and put it on top of the wood. That's clear. However, da'al ha'etzim ksiv. We're now on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Kiti by Lachaliba Daman Damar Al Besamoch. However, if you subscribe to the idea that Al could also mean on the side, and we will see this later in the Masechta, says Rashi, on Daf Tzadivav, in terms of how to understand the preposition of Al in the Torah. Does it literally mean on, and that's the only acceptable understanding, or no? It could also mean on the side as well.
So what's the question?
So then, Hachinami, Abasamach Odilma, the Gemara is now going to explain. Odilma, Al Ha'etim Dumya de Alam Mizbeach. Mahasam Al Mamish, Af Hachinami Al Mamish. Maybe Al in general could mean on the side, but not here. And why not here? Because look at the context. When the Torah says to take the wood and put it on the Mizbeach, clearly there is no room for any kind of latitude. The wood has to be on the Mizbeach. That's clear. There's no wood to the side of the Mizbech, because if it's to the side of the Mizbech, it's simply not on the Mizbech. Fine. So now when we're talking about taking the Eivar and putting it on the wood, so maybe in the context of Mizbeach, here, Al means directly on and not to the side of. Possibly. Take it, once again, the Gemara leaves this question also unresolved. Okay. With the start of our next mission over here, we're going to be entering into the part of the third parak of Menachos, where we start to deal with Ikov. Although, the Mishnah of... Yeah, okay, so let's start with the Mishnah. HaKomets miyutu ma'akiv ezruba. When it comes to the comets, you must burn the entirety of the comets. And here, even though we have a concept throughout Halacha known as Rov, that a majority is significant, not as it relates to the comets. The comets, it's literally all or nothing. The entire kamis has to be burned on the Mizbeach. And miyutu ma'akiv ezruba, the language of the Mishnah, is that a small part of the comets will hold back the majority of it. So 90% of the comets is burnt on the Mizbeach, and 10%, we lost it, whatever the case is, no good. All 100% of the comets has to be burned on the Mizbeach. Isaron mi'uto me'akev is rubo. And in terms of the amount of flour necessary for a standard mincha, which is one isaron, so then it has to be one isaron in totality. It is a point, admittedly, we made earlier already in the Masechta. The idea of chaser, that if I'm missing any amount of it, it's going to be ma'akev, but the Mishnah over here is giving us structurally a language which applies to many different areas. So, okay, fine, so we're repeating a point that we made earlier. Hayayin miyutu ma'akev is rubo. Same thing with the wine. As the nesachim on the Mizbeach, the Torah gives us an amount of wine. The amount is going to be dependent on the size of the animal. The Parsha of Nesachim and Parsha Shlach in the Torah. So there, whatever the amount is, it has to be that amount. Any amount missing is going to be ma'akev. Hashemen miyutu ma'akev esruba, same thing with the oil. Hasolz v'hashemen ma'akvin zedzeh. Also, flour and oil are ma'akev. They are both essential to the mincha. And the v'akomets v'lavona ma'akvin zedzeh. And as far as the two matirin of a mincha, you have komets and you have lavona. We've discussed that earlier. So they are ma'akev zedzeh. They are necessary one for another. My time and we run through the Gemara, Amar Kram Malokum So Tre Zimne. So here, what is the reason? How come? By the comets, 90% of the comets is unacceptable. 100% of the comets has to go on the top of the Mizbeach. So the Torah says that the Torah repeats Malokum So twice, telling us that it has to be the entire comets. Isarn miyotu ma'akev ezruba ma'itam ma'amakra misalsa shimchasu kol shehu psula. So once again, a drasha in the Torah, misalsa, from its flower. You need the full isarn. Hayan miyotu ma'akev ezruba kacha. The Torah, in describing the wine, says kacha. Hashemen miyutu ma'akev ezruba de minchas nesachim kacha. By minchas nesachim, so the Torah uses the word kacha. Uminchas the davar amakra umishamna shimchisa kol shehu psula. And the Torah, in describing the mincha of a voluntary offering, it says umi shamna, once again, describing how it has to be essential. Hashem and vessels, ma'akvin zedzeh, when it comes to oil and flour, they need each other. One without the other is insufficient, is unacceptable. Misalsa umi shamna, migarsa umi shamna. So we have psukim that say that they are interlocked with one another. How comes v'alavon makvin says that a kol levonta ve'es kol levona ashel amincha. Torah repeats instructions regarding the levona, which is on the top of a mincha, which means that the levona coupled together with the komets are essential. Okay, adkan. The next Mishnah also now is going to continue in its discussion of things that need each other. Meaning there is a mitzvah for, the Torah gives sometimes two items, sometimes three items, sometimes four items, sometimes seven are numbers for today, two, three, four, and seven. And so what we're going to learn together is that under certain occasions, so it's one mitzvah, and therefore two is just two halves of the mitzvah. Three is just three-thirds of the mitzvah, and they need each other. So we start with the twos. Shnei Sira Yom Kippur Makvin Zezeh. So on Yom Kippur, there is a requirement of two goats. One goat on Yom Kippur is simply insufficient. If for whatever reason the Beis HaMikdash only has one goat, and so, okay, look, one is better than nothing. No, one is not better than nothing. One is nothing. In other words, the two goats are Ma'akiv Zezeh. Shnei Kipsei Atzeres Makvin Zezeh on Shavuos. The two lambs that are offered on Shavuos. So they need each other. One without the other is nothing. It's a zero. And Beis Chalos Ma'akva Zuazu on Shavuos also, the Shtei HaLechem, that's offered on Shavuos. One loaf is not enough. You need two loaves. It's two or nothing. Shnei Sedarim Ma'akvin Zeh, the two columns of the Lechem upon him. One column of Lechem upon him is insufficient. You need two. Shnei Bezichem Ma'akvin Zeh, two spoonfuls of Lavona that are resting on the top of the two columns of the Lechem upon him, which we've also described time and again throughout our Masechta. So they are essential to one another. Either you have two or nothing. Meaning one spoon by itself is nothing. Hasidarim v'habizichim akvin zeh. For the mitzvah of lechem upon him, you need the columns of bread, the two columns of bread, and you need the two spoons, and they need each other. One without the other is nothing. Beis minim sheben nazir. When a nazir concludes his naziros, so he's going to bring karbanos, and in conjunction with the karbanos, he's going to bring two types of bread. As an attachment to the karbanos, and they are ma'akev, they need each other. And gimel shebeparah, and when offering the paraduma, the Torah says that together with the paraduma, you will bring the eitz erez and the ezov and the shniyat tola'as, and they are essential. Meaning, if I'm missing one of those three, so then it's ma'akev zezeh, I have nothing. Dalas shebetoda, when offering a karban toda, four types of bread that are offered with the karban toda, they are ma'akev zezeh, I need all four. Dalat shebelulav, right? As we are now approaching the month of Tishrei, and we're heading into Sukkos, so we know that on Sukkah there's a mitzvah of dalaminim, and three is no good, right? Going three for four is a great day in baseball, right? Three for four by the minim is nothing. It's ma'akiv zedzeh. They need each other. Arba shebemitzora ma'akiv zedzeh. So the four regarding the mitzora on tahara samitzora. So you start off with the same things that we mentioned by the paraduma, the eitz erez, the ezov, and the shnitolas, and you're going to add also a pair of birds, and these four ingredients are ma'akiv zedzeh, they need each other. Shiva azo shebapara. Okay, so that covered our fours. So far we had the twos, we had a three, and we had a whole bunch of fours, and now we're up to the sevens. Shiva azo shebapara ma'akiv zedzeh, with the paraduma. So after shechting the paraduma outside of the Gimel Machanos, you're on Har Mishka, you're on the Mount of Olives, and you shech the paraduma, and you collect the blood, and the Kohen now is sprinkling the blood seven times in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. All seven sprinklings are ma'akev. Kohen does six, that's zero. It has to be seven. Zayin Azar Sha'al Bein Habadim Zayin Azar Sha'al Bein Habadim Sha'al HaParoches Sha'al Mizbech Hazak Hazav Ma'akvot Zu'udzu. And on Yom Kippur, Also timely, also coming up all too soon. So the seven sprinklings that are done with the blood of the goat and the blood of the bull on Yom Kippur, so all seven that are done. Remember, there are a series of three, one in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, one towards the Parochas, and one in the Mizbeach Hazav. So once again, all three of them, all three sets of seven, Ma'akiv Zedzeh, they're all essential. We start with the Gemara Shnei Sirim Yom Kippur Ma'akvin Zedzeh. The seven, sorry, we're back to two. The two seirim of Yom Kippur are essential, and they need each other, chukah. And the Gemara over here is just going to rapid fire, just various psukim that trigger the idea that they need one another. So when it comes to the shnei seirim, so the Torah gives a description of Yom Kippur, of chukah, meaning that you must be. Shnei kivsei atzeres ma'akvin zedzeh, that the two lambs of of Shavuos are necessary? Havaya. The Torah there describes it with the word Havaya, right? The Tiyya. Shtei Chalos Havaya. Also, when the two, the Shtei Alechem Shavuos, also the word Havaya. Shnei Sedarim Chuka. The two columns of the lechem upon him, there too, the Torah uses the word chuka. And shnei bezichin, the two spoonfuls of lavona chuka. Hasadam v'abezichin chuka. Shnei minim sheminazir dechziv kenyasa. So again, the trigger words in the Torah that tells us that these are essential, they need each other. Gimel shebepara chuka. Arba shebetoda deitkish lenazir. Now the four by the karban toda. So there is no trigger word in the Torah. There's no chukah, there's no havaya as it comes to the four types of bread that comes with the karban toda. However, we have a hekesh. What's the hekesh? Dichsiv al zevach todas shlamav. The amramar shlamav l'rabba shalmei nazir. So we have a hekesh connecting the karban toda and that of the nazir. The nazir we already established as being essential, that the two types of bread that come together with the karban nazir are essential. The four types of bread that come together with the karban mincha, with the karban toda are essential. The four things that come together with the first day of Tahara Samitzorah, we went over them earlier, the Eitz Erez, Ezov, Shnitolas, and the two birds. So these four need one another. Three out of four is not good enough. Dalet shebelulav. How do I know that the four minim that are taken on Sukkos, that they are essential one to another? The lulav, esrog, hadassim, and aravos are absolutely essential to one another. Three out of four is unacceptable. The Torah over here, we don't have the word chukah, we don't have the word tiyah, but we have another trigger word. Ulekachtem lekichatama. So the Torah says that you have to take it. Lekachtem is a contraction of two words, lekicha tama. It has to be a complete taking. It will be insufficient. If you have three out of four, you need all four. Amar chanam barav lo shanu ala she'en lo. This is true, that they need one another if I don't have one of the four. However, aval yesh lo, but if I have all four, ein ma'akvin, they're not ma'akiv. What did he mean by that? Rashi writes as follows. Rashi says, it's just a short Rashi. Rashi says, "Aval yeshlo ein ma'akvin afilu lo agdan keechad." So what Rav Chanan is teaching us is that as long as I have four and I'm holding the four in my hand, they don't have to be tied up together. That's the way Rashi's understanding. Tosfos over here offers he quotes in the name of the Halachas Gedolos. He says that what Rav Chanan is relaxing on is much more than what Rashi describes. If you look at the fourth Tosfos on the Amud, Perish Behilchos Gedolos, Behalachos Lulav, Yesh Lo Ein Ma'akvin Delo Tema Ad Demagbalu Behade Adade Lo Nafik Ela I Mag Bechad Chad Luchude Shapir Dami Dekamal On Lulav Tzar Ein Tzarich Eged. So he quotes in the name of the Halachos Gedolos that here is what Rav Chanan is allowing us to do on Sukkos. We take the dalamin and we don't have to pick them up all together. As long as we have all four on the table. So I'll pick up the esrog and put it down. Pick up the lula, put it down. And the same with the hadassim, same with the aravos. As long as they are in the vicinity, and as long as they're all here, and obviously there's a mitzvah of hagba'ah, I don't have to pick all of them up together. That's his understanding of Rav Chanan. The hemshech of the Gemara would seem to support Rashi, but okay. Yes.
Since we learned all these logical steps and also hekesh, why do we need a Mishnah to say all these things?
No, in other words, the Mishnah is now teaching us I guess you would. I don't know. If,
the bottom line.
The bottom line, but I'm not sure if these are the exceptions of the rule. Whatever the case is, meaning that there are a number of occasions where the Torah gives us multiple items. Right, there's a mitzvah that has components to it. So if I'm missing a component, often is the time where, okay, we're missing a component. We're going to do the rest of the mitzvah, okay? But over here, the Mishnah is now giving us a list where I have a mitzvah, it has components to it. One. Each component is just part of a whole, and each component now is essential. And that's something which is not always the case. And so what the Mishnah now has done is collated all the different mitzvahs, where there are various components to the mitzvah, but they're all essential. Okay. We're heading in that direction. Oh. Okay, so that's where we're going in Hakomitz Rabbah. Okay, continuing in the Gemara, Ein Ma'akvin Meitzvei. The Gemara now challenges this idea of Rav Chanan. Dalamin shebelulav, the four species of lulav. Beis Ma'am Moslem Peres, Beis Ma'am Mainim Peres. Two are fruit producing, and two are not fruit producing. If I did not see Rashi, I would have gotten this wrong. Okay, admission, shameful admission, but it's true. I would have said the esrog obviously is fruit. It's fruit producing. I mean, it is a fruit, and then I would have guessed hadassim because I know the Mishnayos and Sukkah that talk about how the hadassim produce berries. But that's true. But in other words, that's not Rashi over here says no. The two fruit producing of the dalet minim are esrog and lulav. Good. Okay, you would have guessed correctly. I wouldn't have. Okay, and the hadassim, the aravos are considered non-fruit producing. So ha'osim peros use zukukin shein osim. Shein osim peros use zukukin lein osim peros. And so they need each other. Meaning, don't say, well, those are producing fruit, productive. Those are not producing fruit, useless. Don't say that. They need each other. And now, what a great opportunity for a drasha. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be creative. The Gemara is going to give us the drasha. And the Gemara now uses the opportunity to make a drasha. And the same thing is true regarding the Jewish people, Bahar Tzah. If we want to appease the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Rashi over here says, Kishehin misanin, meaning at the time when we have a tannis, we have a fast. And so don't think, okay, the tzaddikim, they're going to be the ones fasting. We don't need the Rishayim. The Gemara says that's not the case. Those that are producing fruit, those are not producing fruit. Rashi, let me finish reading that Rashi. Tzadikim v'rishayim. So we need the totality of the Jewish people, both the tzadikim and the rishayim. Dumya da'osim v'inosim peros. Just like I have four minim on Sukkos. Two of them are productive. Two of them are not productive. Right? What do we say about the non-productive? Right? They're not that important? No, they're not only are they important, we need them. The mitzvah does not work without them. Same thing with the tanis. We need everybody. Shenemar, habonah b'shamayim al yosav, va'agudaso ala arts yisada. The Navi in Amos describes how only when we're bundled together, yisada, do we create a foundation. But without being bundled together, no foundation. So the Gemara over here points out as follows. What is super clear from this brayso that we learned together? Aguda, that the dalet minim have to be tied together. Rav Chanan says, nah, they don't have to be tied together. It's sufficient, it's enough, as long as I have them. But they don't have to be tied together. Like I said, this seems to support Rashi, the way Rashi understands it. But anyway, Tanayi, the Gemara points out, it's a machlokas Tanayim. Detanya will enter the brayso. Lula ben agud ben she'eno agud kasher. Rav Yehuda Amar Agud Kasher She'enu Agud Pasul. So it's a machlokas Tanayim. And it should sound familiar. The Gemara in Sukkah quoted this drasha twice. So and now we have it in Menachos as well. So three times in Shas we have the machlokas Tanayim, whether or not lulav tzarech eged or lulav ain't tzarech eged. According to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, ain't tzarech eged. Does not have to be tied together. Again, I'll learn the Gemara like Rashi. They have to be held together, but they don't have to be tied together. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, no. Aguda is a essential nature of the mitzvah. They have to be tied together. My time, Rabbi Yehuda Gamar Kicha Kicha, Ma Aguda Zeizo, Ma Lahalam Aguda, Afkan Ba Aguda. And he learns it out via Gzeirah Shava. And then what? The Chachamim don't have this Gzeirah Shava? So interesting, by the way, see the second to last Tosfos who discusses what the Chachamim, where do the Chachamim stand on this Gzeirah Shava? V'Rabbanan Lo Gamar Kicha Kicha. Now the Gemara says simply, they don't have the Gzeirah Shava. Now what does that mean? Meaning Gzeirah Shava. Ain Adam Dan Gzereshava Me'atzmo, Ela Kibel Me'rabo. We have a general rule that Gzereshava, you can't just simply fabricate. You have to have it as a Mesorah. So the Rabbi Huda does and the Chachamim don't? I mean, I'd say yes, but it's got to be a little more complicated than that. Kemana Azla Adetanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa reads, Lulav Mitzvah La'agdo, V'im La'agdo Kasher. A Lulav, there is a mitzvah to bind the Lulav, and if you don't, it's Kasher. Now, come on. Now, that braisa, admittedly, that's confusing. Now, Iker Rabbi Yehuda lo agdamai kosher. If the author of the braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, it's not nice to tie the lulav together with the other three minim. It is essential to do so. Failure to do so results in no check for the mitzvah. And Ira banamai mitzvah. Now, according to the Chacham, there's no requirement to do so. So what do you mean it's a mitzvah to do so? It's not a mitzvah. There's no requirement. La'olam Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, the author of the Braisa is a Chachamim Umay Mitzvah, Mishum Zeh Keliv Anveil. The mitzvah is to make it beautiful. Meaning vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Dalaminim. So no, there's no mitzvah La'agdo. And in fact, if you're not Ogate, if you don't bind them together, you still were Mekayim the mitzvah. But there's also a requirement that when doing mitzvahs, make them beautiful. Right? Lulav Na'eh, Sukkah Na'eh, Tzitzis Na'eh. Right, and that's the Rashi in the Hagozo. Anyway, make them beautiful. So too over here. So binding the lulav together with the hadasim and the aravos, right, the holders that we use nowadays, the popular holders. So it organizes everything. It makes it look much nicer. Zekili vanveil. Okay, that kind of takes us to the end of our short stint in Dalaminim. And again, it comes up because the Dalaminim of Sukkot are ma'akev ze et ze. And so now we covered the twos, the three, the fours, and now we're up to the sevens, right? The list of things in the Mishnah that have a mitzvah, seven components to it, and all seven are essential to one another. Sheva azosha bepar makvin zeruzu chuka. So again, now we're at the paraduma, the seven sprinklings of the Kohen. After shechting the paraduma, taking the blood, sprinkling it in the direction of the base of Mikdash. How do I know that all seven are essential? The Torah uses the word chuka. Good. Sheva azosha bina ban v'shal mizbech azav v'shal parochas makvin zu azu diyama kipurim ksiv chuka. Now, the seven sprinklings of Yom Kippur, and again, it's a series of three. Seven in the Kodesh HaKodashim, seven in the Heichal in the direction of the Parochas, seven on the Mizbech HaZahav. So how do I know that they're all essential? The Torah in Yom Kippur describes Chukah. Every aspect of Yom Kippur is essential. Now, Depar Kohen Mashiach, U Depar Helm Davishol Tzibor, U Desi'irei Avodas HaKochavim. Now, there are three other Chataos HaPnimios. The three other Chataos HaPnimios, two are, we described them in great detail, in Masech Tahorios. Two are mentioned in Perek Dalet and Vayikra. That's the Par Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol were to violate an Avera of an Isser Kares, based on his own erroneous ruling, so then he has a special Karban Chatas that he brings, and the blood of that Karban Chatas is sprinkled in the Heichal. Not Kodesh Kadoshim, but in the Heichal. Par Helm Davashol Tzibor, that's the next Parsha in Perek Dalet of Vayikra. If the Sanhedrin issues a ruling that is followed by the majority of the Jewish people, and it violates an Isser Kares, so there too, a special Karban Chatzos is brought by the Sanhedrin, and there too the blood is sprinkled in the Heichal. So these are two Chataos HaPnimios, and there's a third as well, and that is the Seir of Avodah Zarah. If the Jewish people were to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, so there is a special carbon. This carbon is not mentioned back in Vayikra, but it's mentioned in Parsha Shlach. In any event, so these are the three Chataos HaPnimios, in addition, by the way, to the Par and Seir of Yom Kippur. There are a total of five Chataos HaPnimios. How do I know that the seven sprinklings of these three are Me'akev? Now, by Yom Kippur, so we have the Chukah that covers the Avodas Yom Kippurim, so that's covered. Here, however, the two that are mentioned in Vayikra Perek Dalet, the one that's mentioned in Bamidbar Perek Tezvav, so where's the tip-off? So the Gemara says it's encrypted. It's encrypted in the Torah that these are essential. And this encryption, by the way, we learned back in Zvachim, and we're learning it again, sorry. And we're learning it again here in Menachos. Kid Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. The Asala Par Asher Asala Par. If you look structurally at the Parsha in Vayikra and Perek Dalet, so the Torah first gives us a very clear instruction of how to offer the Par Kohen Gadol, and then you look at the very next Parsha, the Torah gives almost identical instructions for the Par Helm Davishol Tzibor. And then the Torah goes on to say, V'asah lepar, or V'aseh lepar, kasher asah lepar. This part of the Par Helm Davishol Tzibor is to be treated the same way that the other part is to be treated. And you have to ask the question, why does the Torah need to say that? If you look at each parsha side by side, the instructions are super clear. So the Torah then doesn't have to say, oh, and this is going to be treated like the previous. It's stated clearly in the Torah. So, Vasila Parma Kashirsa Parmatamalamar, Lichvo Vahazos. And the Torah over there is basically telling us the repetition regarding Hazah. She'im Chiser, Chav Zainamad Beis, She'im Chiser Achas Min. Hamatanos lo asa klum. That if any one of the applications is missing, so lo asa klum, you have done nothing. So in other words, the essentiality. Okay. Look at Rashi over here. I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now. Rashi covers a lot of what we learned back in Zvachim in terms of exactly how the mechanics of this drasha works. How does this drasha not only include the Par Helm Davishol Tzibor and the Par Kohen Gadol, but also the Par of Avodah Zarah, the Seir of Avodah Zarah. So see Rashi for a review of the Gemara in Zvachim. Tanu Rabbanan. Sheva azar sheba parasha asam bein shalolushman bein shalom mechuvanos psulas. The seven sprinklings of the paraduma. If it's shalolushman or shalom mechuvanos. Okay. As far as shalolushman is concerned, Rashi writes, shalolushman psulas dechsi bechatas hi. The Torah calls it a chatas. Now remember, it's not a carbon chatas. The para aduma is not a carbon. It can't be a carbon. We've gone over this point outside. Many times. It's offered outside of the Beis HaMikdash. It's offered outside of Yerushalayim. It's not a carbon. It has carbon-like qualities. Just like by a carbon, you have to have kavana, and specifically by a carbon chatas, and we learned that a shalol lishma by a carbon chatas is a deal-breaker. So when it comes to the paraduma, if when the Kohen shechs the paraduma, he has another carbon in mind, so that too will be a deal breaker. Even though the paraduma is not a carbon, but it has carbon-like qualities. Shalom mechuvanos, what does that mean? Rashi, shalom kiven keneged pischo shel heichal. You didn't face the direction of the heichal. Psulos tichsi baychuka ve'el nochach. Its facing of the Beis HaMikdash is an essential nature, an essential component of the mitzvah paraduma. So two aspects by the paraduma which are non-negotiable. One is kavana, and two is the direction facing. So let's start again. Sorry, sheva azor sheba para, the seven sprinklings of the para. Sha'asan ben shalol shma ben shalom mechuvanos. If and during any one of the sprinklings there was either the kavana shalol shma or you didn't face the direction of the Beis HaMikdash, so psulos. Ushebifnim ushebemitzora. Now, the sprinkling that's done in the Heichal, and that by the Mitzorah, Shalol Lishman Psulos. Now, if it's Shalol Lishman, so it would be Pasol, but Shalom Mechuvanos, Ksheros. But if facing the wrong direction, so then that would be acceptable. Now, V'hatan, Yagabe Par Shalol Lishman Psulos, Shalom Mechuvanos, Ksheros. So the Gemara over here points out that I don't understand. We have another brisa regarding Paraduma. This brisa tells us that by Paraduma Shalol Lishman, no good. Meaning while sprinkling any one of the hazaos of the Paraduma, so you have to have the right kavan in mind, that's non-negotiable, but in terms of direction, this brisa says it's negotiable. Not negotiable, it's not a great way to describe it. But in other words, it's not essential. Meaning obviously it's a mitzvah. The Torah says, El Nochach, that you have to be facing the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not an essential nature. And so we have one brisa saying that kavana and kivun, all right, you like that? I just thought of it. Kavana and kivun, both the right intent and the right direction. So the first brisa says it's essential. Second brisa says that the kavana is essential, but the kivun, but the direction is non-essential. And how do I resolve those two brisas? So there are going to be two approaches, one of Rav Chista and one of Rava. We'll pause over here, and tomorrow we will learn both approaches.